Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say good morning to you and welcome you to worship. It's a beautiful day here in Munster, Indiana. If you're watching online, I hope it's nice where you are too. Let's focus our minds and our hearts on the Lord today. We're here to give thanks. We're here to praise God. And we're here to experience His presence and encourage one another in love. So as we prepare to worship, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. And thank you that every morning can be beautiful with you. Thank you, Lord, that you found us. Though our lives were out of sorts, though we were far from you, though, Lord, we didn't have a clue, you knew us and you loved us and you sought us out. Thank you that your grace and your mercy found us, Lord. Thank you for offering us forgiveness and newness of life. And now as we gather together on this first day of the week, we gather to give you thanks and to worship you, to praise you, to honor you for who you are. For you have created this whole world and you have made us in your image. Help us, Lord, to draw near to you today. Speak a fresh word into our lives and enable us to give back, Lord. And as we give in the offering and also as we give of our lives, as we respond this morning to your word, just be glorified in all of it, Lord. And thank you that we know we'll be lifted up too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together and you'll recognize the folks on the screen who will help us sing.
Thank you.
Remember, tithes and offerings, we have a plate at the back where you can give, and we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. May has been an interesting month with some extra bills. We're still kind of playing catch-up, so we appreciate if the Lord has blessed you, anything extra that you can do can make a big difference. But also, as we're preparing for prayer, we want to pray for those who need the Lord's physical touch. We're praying continually for Martha Truman. She did pass her swallow test. She is trying to eat soft foods, but she is still struggling. So please continue to pray for her. And I think that Delia is under the weather today, so we'll pray for her today as well. There are many others who are traveling on this holiday weekend. We pray the Lord will be with them where they are. And then we'll pray for our nation. This is a challenging time for us all. Inflation is a thing, huh? Everybody feeling that squeeze a bit, just like the church is. So we pray for relief to be on the horizon. We know that God will be faithful to all of us. But we're praying for Ukraine. Things have kind of taken a turn there, and it's somewhat bleak at this moment. But we pray for peace to somehow win the day in this battle that's affecting the whole world. But we know that God's grace is greater. So with that confidence, let us go before the throne of grace at this time. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we come aware that there's stuff going on in the world. And if we see the news, we see tragedies that are happening, signs of brokenness everywhere, many opinions on exactly what will fix it all. But Father, we know underneath all of it, there's a problem in the hearts of human beings. But also, we need to be willing to take actions when necessary that could make a difference. So Father, help us to have wisdom. Help us to have more than just nice thoughts that we're sending to those who are suffering and hurting, but help us to take tangible actions that can make a difference. And Father, I pray that as we look at the strife and the struggle around us, that we will not lose heart, because you are a faithful God. You created this world. And we give thanks to you, Lord, for each breath that we draw that is from you. And Father, we know that you have described to us the mess that we have made of this world in your word. And if we've lived long enough, we know that all of us have had broken places and bad experiences in our lives, personal failures. But Lord, you've loved us and you've shown us a better way. And so help us to respond in compassion to our world, and help us to share the hope of Jesus Christ. Lord, you don't candy coat or smooth over the problems of life. You come to us in the midst of the mess, and you go to work helping us to be restored and to set things right again. And one day you are coming again to set all things right. And we give thanks for that today. So, Father, we pray in particular for Martha Truman. Lord, she's had such a struggle over the last few years. We just pray that in your abundant mercy, you'll continue to pour out your grace upon her body. Help her, Lord, to have an appetite and to be able to eat enough to sustain her. And just help her body to continue to improve. And strengthen her in the inner man as well, that she would feel the power and presence of the Holy Spirit lifting her up, and let the joy of the Lord be her strength for each day. We pray for Delia today, who needs your touch. We pray for others who are dealing with physical ailments and ongoing situations. We ask that you'll touch and bless them today as well. And Father, help us to keep our eyes on you, even when we're struggling physically, and know that your help and your healing can sustain us. And Father, we do pray for the leaders of our nation. Lord, financially, these are hard times again for so many. Lord, I just pray that there will be relief that can come in some form, that things will make a turn for the better. And I ask for your abundant grace to just provide for your people in the meantime. And Lord, help everyone to know that we need to rely on you to provide for us, Lord. We may think it's certain economic policies or a certain job or whatever, but Lord, no matter what is paying the bills right now on the human level, we know that it's always you who are providing for us, and we are in your hands. And so we trust you this morning, Lord. Help us not to worry, but instead to look to you to provide for our needs. And Father, we pray for those around the world who are locked in a struggle they did not ask for, invading armies, explosions and devastation around them. Father, please come to them. Help the Christians who are there to minister to those around them and to bring an overcoming hope and love. And I thank you for Nazarenes who are there making a difference. I thank you for the crisis care kits that we put together and sent on their way to help. And I thank you that some are being blessed even now by those who gathered and prepared these daily items for those who are in need and displaced from their homes. Lord, it'll be a long struggle to restore a nation, but we pray for a good outcome, and we pray for your peace to come, Lord. Just come quickly, Lord Jesus, and restore all things as is your great plan, and increase our faith in you, Lord, during these days. You have blessed us, and we have much to be thankful for, and I pray that the blessings you have poured into our lives will flow through our lives to help heal the world. And we ask this all in Jesus' very powerful name. Amen. Right, at this time, let's turn our attention to God's Word. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. So if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to turn there. It's always a good idea to bring your Bible with you, even if it's just on your phone. I'm going to talk about that during the message, but as I've always said, you want to make sure the preacher's not making it up, right? So read it for yourself, all right? Let's stand in honor of God's Word. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Open your heart to God's Word. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is God's word. You can be seated. So understanding the scriptures is important. In verse 44, Jesus had said, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So Jesus is talking about the Old Testament. At the time he is speaking, that's the only Testament. The Hebrew Bible, which he probably was looking at it in Greek at that time, was the Bible. The New Testament was happening in real time. Everything had not been recorded down into writing yet. So even the Old Testament testifies to Jesus. In fact, initially, that's where the disciples learned about who Jesus is, from the Old Testament. Have you read the Old Testament? It's a good question to think about. Well, none of those who were present to hear Jesus say these words were teachers of the scriptures. But Jesus still chose them, and he didn't avoid pointing them to the Bible as being important for them to read. There was something important about understanding Jesus through understanding the story of how God worked across the ages of time. So it wasn't just about these fishermen who are having an experience with Jesus now. These fishermen had to buckle down, and they had to learn the story well. It wasn't just something important that happened to them. It was important because of everything that had happened before that led up to this wonderful moment when Jesus came to earth. And there was so much to learn about those stories, and their learning about it would help them to live out their own story as well. So we also need to understand the scriptures. Amen? We're not Bible scholars, but we can learn to understand the story, and we can learn to understand the essential wisdom of the Bible. And we can learn by hearing. We live in amazing times, don't we? We have technology. Well, everything's giant on the screen today. We don't know why. Technology doesn't always work, but that's fine. At least it's big enough to see, right? But in this age, if you have a smartphone and a friend who can help you set it up in some cases, you can listen daily to the Bible in audio form. The reading plan will come to you daily, and you just hit play and you can listen. Of course, you can hear the Word of God in worship and in Sunday school, especially during the preaching of the Word. And so even if your eyesight is bad or reading isn't your thing, you can still learn from God's Word. Now, this is Memorial Day weekend, and on this weekend, we remember those of our loved ones who've gone on before us. And for some, those memories are very happy, very treasured memories that are wonderful to revisit. For others, some of these memories may be sad and difficult. But it's still important to know something about where we came from and who we came from. Well, the good news is this. Whatever the story of our birth heritage, the story of our spiritual heritage is one of overcoming and grace. So we can be part of a better story through the story of God. But it begins by learning that story. So do you know that story? Do you know the story of creation? Do you know the story of people beginning to rebel against God? Do you know how God called a man and it turned into a nation that he called out? Do you know about their struggles and ups and downs? Do you know about their great leaders and their failures of leadership? Do you know about them going into captivity? And do you know about returning to the land? And do you know about their longing for a Messiah? All of those things in the background, in a way, they form a way to understand our own journey too, because all of us were born into a family. All of us, there are people in the past who were called to follow God with their lives. They did or they didn't. They struggled at times. They had wonderful victory at times. But now we come to a moment where we realize for our own lives that we are longing for a Savior, that we are longing for someone to help us to overcome. Well, so when we learn this story and see how much it relates to our own, we begin to find some traction. So get motivated to read or listen to understand. Now, maybe you know more about the New Testament, and that's wonderful, and it makes so many things clear, and it sheds a lot of light on the Old Testament, but there are things in the New Testament that don't make any sense if you've never heard the stories of the Old Testament. So think of it this way. If the New Testament is the movie that you knew about well, and you've watched it over and over again, right? The Old Testament is the prequel, right? So you need to see that movie too. You need to know what was behind and what led up to the events of the New Testament. You'll understand so much more once you see those early parts of the story. All right, well, I usually don't do commercials for particular technology, but there's a little app on the phone called the YouVersion Bible app. And we do live in a golden age of learning the Bible. There's so many resources. But if you have a smartphone, hold it up this morning. How many of you have a smartphone? Or maybe you're not sure how smart your phone is. But all right, if you have a smartphone, then you can go to the App Store on your smartphone and type in that word that's on the screen. YouVersion as one word, Bible app, right? If you search in that App Store, an app will come up that'll say Holy Bible. There'll be a bunch of Bible-related apps that'll come up. But the one that's the YouVersion one says Holy Bible on the little brown Bible, and it's got a little bookmark tucked into it as well. If you download that, and it's the one that will have millions of downloads. Others will have 50 downloads because they're not good, right? But this one will have millions of downloads. And if you download it and sign up, it's free to register into it. You get access to many translations of the Bible, and it's so easy to listen to the Bible as well. You will learn more if you're listening while you read. So if you got your headphones on in the evening or the morning, or if you sit there with your family and you listen to some of God's word together, that's a powerful thing. But the point is this. If you have God's word right there at your fingertips, then you're much more likely to read it. Just talk to Jeff, our media guy, if you want to know about it. I helped him set that up several years ago, and he's always traveling across the country for his job. He'll be driving down to Kentucky this week, in fact. And he hooks it up, and he listens in his car while he's driving along those miles. And that's better than some things you could listen to. And I don't know about you, sometimes when I'm in the car, I need a little extra encouragement, right? So it's a wonderful thing. But the Word of God can be with you where you are, and you can then quickly catch up and stay up on a reading plan to be familiar with God's Word. Now, however you need to do it, if you have another system that works perfectly for you, then just keep on keeping on. You don't need to try something new. But if you're struggling, don't settle for not experiencing the Word of God in your daily life. Your journey with Christ is more important than you realize, and you affect the lives of so many other people. The disciples needed to learn and understand that story, to understand themselves and to understand their mission. You need it too, and so do I. All right, so here's the good news. Now, when we begin to read something like the Bible, right, it's a big book. It's got some words we've never heard before. It may seem a little bit overwhelming. But the truth is that the disciples had help, right? It said in verse 45, let's read this together. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. One more time. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, I don't think Jesus did brain surgery on all of them, right? I think we're talking metaphorically here, but I think spiritually, right, he heightened their ability to understand. And so that's something powerful to think about and to trust. Now, some of the apostles had some training in the scriptures from their past, but they all got this training. Jesus giving them the spiritual ability to understand the scriptures. So, reading the Bible isn't just about moving your eyes across the page to see the words. There's history involved, and there are spiritual principles. And there are books that can help you understand the history of the Bible. So I encourage you to get some sort of Bible dictionary or some sort of commentary that, or even just a study Bible that can help you understand some of those things you need to know. But only God can give you the spiritual insight. going to say that again. Only God can give you the spiritual insight that you need. Here we have it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, read this for yourself and let it sink in. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. So here Paul is telling us something so powerful and important. Until we come to Jesus and allow him to come into our lives, we won't get as much out of the Bible. Amen? Now, it's important in understanding the history of the world. There are some good thoughts that are helpful for anyone and everyone. But until you have met Christ, until the Holy Spirit is in your life, there are some things you won't be able to discern about the Bible. But anyone who does have Jesus in their life, anyone who has the Holy Spirit in their life, can read the Bible and come to understand what they need to know for their journey today. I think the reason it mentions scrutiny is that the Spirit also reads us while we read the Scriptures. Does that make sense? We think we're reading and learning, right? But the Holy Spirit is searching our hearts as well and showing us where the words on the page apply to our lives and how we can respond to it as well. So it helps us learn about God, but it also helps us learn about ourselves as we read. And in the end, it's what God says that matters. Does it matter if others criticize you? If the Lord shows you what to do and you're doing it, then you can rely on his blessings. So, Jesus gave them spiritual help to understand that he was going away so they could have more spiritual help. That's pretty good. So Jesus had to die because human beings got it wrong and sinned and made the world a broken place. But he came to undo the power of sin and to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He came to cancel hate and to feature love. And by coming to understand the Old Testament, the disciples could understand the dark power of sin and the deep need for abundant life in the age of the Spirit. And Jesus helped them to understand the Word and to understand that the Holy Spirit would come and help them to spread and remember this message. Well, this morning, that good news comes to us as well. So, you'll have help, right? Turn to someone near you and say, you'll have help. Right? And then turn to your neighbor and say, some of us need help. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Scholars are a great help to us. And I've learned from some of the best in my lifetime, but most of what I have learned about the Bible, listen carefully, isn't from classes that I took many years ago. It's from reading and discussing the Bible regularly with other believers. Scholars help us remember the time difference, right? We can't read everything as if the English translation is talking about something from this week. Right, so there's some things we could get wrong if we don't remember that it was written a long time ago. But as long as we keep that in mind, we can put things in perspective. So, you learn all you can about the background of the Bible as you go along, as you have opportunities to do so. But don't be overly worried about that as you begin reading the Bible, because most things are very clear without knowing the original languages. So there's plenty to have our attention that is clear on the first reading, right? Like someone once said, many people complain that there are parts of the Bible they don't understand, but it's the parts of the Bible that I do understand that trouble me a lot, right? Because we know maybe how we should be living, and it stirs our hearts. Well, God created our world. You'll read about that in the Old Testament. human beings chose to turn away selfishly. You'll read about that. That introduced violence and death. And unfortunately, you'll have to wade through some of those things. And you'll learn that forgiveness is costly, and it involves confronting our sin in God's presence. Originally, animals had to die in our place for forgiveness to be secured. But this had only a temporary effect, and it merely was a shadow that was pointing to when Christ would come. And when Jesus came, he died once and for all. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding around the death of Jesus, but he didn't have to die because God the Father is angry and violent. That's not true at all. He died because sin is powerful and sin is spiritual, and it still has a hold over many human beings. And even believers can fall under its power if they aren't careful. That power of sin had to be broken. It had to be overcome. Someone had to win the fight. And so God became a man and died the only death that could win this victory over sin. Amen. Are you thankful for that this morning? Well, he's the Messiah. That you'll read about that in the Old Testament too. That means he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Another way of thinking about it, he's the one, right? He died on the cross, suffering at the hands of the Roman Empire and the false religious leaders of his time. They didn't read the Bible well enough because they blew it. They got it wrong. But he rose from the dead, and now he was victorious over sin and death and hell and everything that would hold us back. And so now God could help the disciples more than ever. And it was the risen Jesus who was opening their minds to understand the scriptures just before he went back to heaven and was promising that the Holy Spirit would come to fill their lives. The plan was for him to leave them physically, so he ascended into heaven. Say that with me. He ascended into heaven. A lot of people don't think about this. They think about, oh, well, Jesus died, and then sort of his spirit was kind of ghosting around, and that was it. No. When Jesus rose from the dead, he had a physical body. Now, it was special, right? But somehow all the molecules of his original body were used up because there was no other body there, and he still had the scars from going to the cross that he could show the disciples. But he ate fish with them, right? So he had a physical body. Mary latched on to him, and he said, "Don't hold on to me now, because I haven't ascended to my Father yet." He was trying to signal to her that a change was coming. And that's what he's signaling now to the disciples. So, when he ascended into heaven, what does that mean? Well, did he pass into another dimension? Could be. Did he go into the multiverse? I don't know, right? I don't know how it happened, but I know that he was taken up from them and then he disappeared from their sight. And I know that as he promised, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And next Sunday, I can't wait, we'll celebrate that miracle together. But it happened just as he said. So yes, I believe he ascended. And now he reigns over all who submit to his lordship. And he is the rightful king of the whole universe. And he is the king of every surrendered life. Is he your king this morning? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have helped to understand the scriptures and to experience God's grace in your life. Verses 50 through 53 say the following. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? So the key is understanding God's word. And part of that key is also that Jesus ascended into heaven. The key to understanding your life is to come to understand the story of Jesus. And it's a love story. He spared no expense, including his own life, so you could be free to live and to serve and to love. As you reflect on those in your family who've gone on before, remember that your story and their story is being written into his larger story. All the good that happened in your family's story, that flowed from his goodness to you. And all the broken places in the narrative where things took a dark turn or somebody got it wrong, these are being healed by his grace. No matter how wonderfully or tragically things ended for now, there is more to come. Thanks be to God. Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. Jesus prepared and commissioned the disciples. Jesus ascended. The Spirit descended. And now our story can be one of hope and grace and newness of life. So if you don't belong to Jesus, don't let another weekend pass without saying yes to him. 1 John 1:9. Let's read this together. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9-10. Read with me. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. So become part of God's family today. With God as our Father, and his Son as our Savior, and the Spirit as our guide, there's so much to look forward to. So, let the Spirit remind you of all the amazing things that Jesus has taught us. And we too can return again and again to a church building full of great joy and giving thanks. And we can go out each week to tell others, to learn more, and to share the good news with our family, with our neighbors, with our friends. It's a better story. And now it's our story. Thank God for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you, we know. And thank you, Lord, that you are here for us. Help us just to be quiet before you and be very open to what you would say to us just now. If there's anyone here who needs to set things right with Jesus Christ, who needs to confess their sins and to know the forgiveness that he secured for them on the cross, and to know the newness of life that he can offer to them because of the resurrection, because of the ascension, because of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we are aware of this reality, that you'll give us a hunger for it, Lord, that we would reach out for it if we need it today. With your eyes closed, if this is you, with no one looking around, you're saying, this is my day. I need to connect with Jesus, and I'm ready to do it now. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? No one looking around. Even if you're at home, if that's you, just raise your hand quietly where you are. God sees. Pause for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those who are reaching out for you right now. And I pray that you will guide them through how to connect with you now, Lord, as they confess to you that they know they have sinned and fallen short of your glory, as they admit they need your forgiveness, Lord, as they humble themselves before you, May they know and experience your forgiveness right now. Father, I pray that they would feel the burden lifted from their mind and heart. Maybe even just it would feel physically in their body like a burden lifted to know your forgiveness, Lord, to know your grace. And Lord, then to commit to following you with our lives, that you will be in us and guiding us and leading us each day. May all who have confessed now commit to following you. And Father, may we just allow your story to become our story as you write us into the narrative. And as you guide us together through each day, may we become your people, people that stories will be written down about because of the faithfulness of people following you. And Lord, reassure anyone making this choice that they will have help, that they will have the indwelling presence of the Spirit to guide them. And Lord, even if we stumble, the right thing to do is just confess our sins right then and there, Lord, to be forgiven and restored and keep moving forward. Help us to live faithful lives that would bring glory to you. And then, Lord, I pray for all of us that we would be the people out there living this journey, out there following you, just announcing repentance and forgiveness of sins to everyone that we know and have influence over, Lord, to share newness of life with them, to share love and hope with people who are discouraged in these times. May our loving presence, Lord, just follow your presence and usher in a new sense of forgiveness and peace in the life of many that we would meet. Lord, we pray that men, women, and boys and girls would come to follow Jesus because we follow you faithfully. And Lord, thank you that you reassure us in all of this. And this story and our story continues on. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your rich blessings in Jesus. Thank you that he ascended into heaven. And now these blessings are ours. Keep our families safe and whole this weekend. Again, be with those who have been traveling and bring them back safely to us. And we will give you all the praise and the thanks in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's say the Apostles' Creed before we go. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go in the power of the Holy Spirit and live the story of God as the people of God. And may all in your path be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. We have Sunday school to follow.